Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour. Darren Donick and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. We bring in Chris Mason, who we talk to every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, and he is driven by Freeland Chevrolet. Also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. See, Mace, what's up?
What's up, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Hanging in there. I keep checking outside. It looks like at some point we're going to maybe get some nasty weather. I don't know. Just can't make up of its mind if it wants to be nice or not. But I keep turning around and looking. We had a great conversation with Joe Ward yesterday, and I think your paths, you had just left, but you have to have, I'm sure, with your playing days, a Joe Ward story. So what do you got for us?
Well, I just, you know, I just, first of all, for him, I just have a ton of respect for him. You know, just his path playing Canadian University, and that's not an easy route to take and try to make the NHL. But, you know, I've read some stuff on his journey recently. I think it's Players Tribune, and talking about, you know, how he was at a point where he almost gave up the dream. And, you know, just the character that he has, all the guys that played with him, I played with lot of guys that played with him, as you mentioned. I just left, so naturally, you know, you ask about new teammates and what guys are like, and everybody just raved about Wardo. I'll tell you what, he was the guy was a competitor on the ice, that's for sure. That's where I know him the most, and the way he played, and the class that he played hard, but he also played with a lot of integrity, and you know, I guess in quotations, played the game the right way. And just a guy that was respected by his coaches, his peers, everyone that came in contact with him. I know he had a great relationship with Malik, who's a Preds employee, great kid. They've definitely developed a special friendship and a bond over the years. And he's one of those guys that just, you know, touches people and makes an impact on other people's lives wherever he goes. So just, you know, congratulations to him on just an amazing career and defying the odds and doing things, you know, getting there the hard way and just making the best of it. And he just had a fantastic career and just a great guy.
We spoke with Scott Nickel in the first hour of today's show, and I asked him this question, and I want to see how you answer it. A lot of times with these athletes, yes, it's about your skill set, but we know it's much more than your skill set. The makeup of somebody, what drives them, how they're wired, you know, their personality, everything, their work ethic. There's a lot of things that go into it. And I want to know from you, who was that, like, first player that jumped out to you when you were around them in a short amount of time? We always say has the it factor, whatever it is. Who was that person that you were wowed by? You know, just spending a little bit of time with them, and you're like, holy cow, this person has it. Who would that be?
Well, there's, you know what, that's kind of it's a tough question, because I think there's so many layers to that. There's different, to me anyway, there was different moments where I thought, you know, certain people had a different it factor. You know, obviously when you talk about these super talented guys, I played with a ton of them in the minors. I played with a ton of them in the National Hockey League. I'd say, you know, Paul Kariya was a major, to me, wow factor in a lot of sense. Obviously, he's got, you know, the skills, and he's just, you know, the first real, I would say, real superstar that I played with. You know, he had everything. He had the work ethic, the mental, just extreme mental strength, the preparation, just, you know, just that ultimate professional, and someone that's the best at what they do. And it was amazing to see him, to see a player and to play with a guy like that every day, and to see what it took to be great, you know. And there's the level of greatness. There's everyone that makes the NHL is obviously super talented, has, you know, all those intangibles, the work ethic, and it's not easy for anyone to get there. But he was the one where I was just blown out of the water by just everything about him. He was like this, you know, anomaly of a person. But I've also met a lot of people along the way that, you know, and you mentioned Scott Nichol is a guy that played in the league when the league was, you know, defensemen were 6'4" monsters, you know, Hal Gills and, you know, Chris Prongers and all these types of guys. And for a guy that played the way that Scott Nichol did, you know, he had a chip on his shoulder like no other. And I played for a lot of guys like that, cut from that cloth, that I would say are blue collar type of players that, you know, like myself, I would say that's not the most talented guy in the room or on certain teams or in the prospect pool or whatever you have. But it's just the mentality that he had that he was not going to get denied. People told him along the way, every step of the way, you're too small. You know, you're going to play that game. You're going to have to score, you know, 1,000 points and do this and that. And players like that really wowed me because it was harder for them. And it took a lot of, I guess, belief in oneself to defy the odds in that way, where every step people, and it's just funny how it goes. People love to do that. They love to try to knock someone down and to tell you that you can't do something. And then there's special people like that, that just refuse to believe what anyone else says, and they find a way to do it. And it's just that never giving up, that continuing striving to be better, learning, you know, and Scott Nichol was a prime example of that. And again, he to me, wow factored me in that way, which a lot of guys did. Steve Sullivan, Thomas Focun, I played with a lot of guys. TJ Oshie, talent wise, I'd never seen a guy with hands and skill level like him. And he also had that grit factor and that just, you know, you wouldn't be denied attitude. And, you know, and playing in the minors for a lot of years, I saw a lot of guys that had more talent in you know, their pinky finger than, you know, 3/4 of the guys that I played with in the National Hockey League, but they didn't have those other elements. They were lazy. They didn't want to work. They just wanted it to be easy. You know, they were the big fish in a small pond, to get cliche on you, but when they got, you know, up to the playing with the other bigger fish, they couldn't handle it, and they couldn't adapt, and they couldn't find a way to, you know, change their game and maybe, you know, learn how to play defense, learn how to check properly, put in the extra work off the ice in the video room. And it really takes a special breed of person to make it all the way. And there's a lot of guys that I played with. Really, it's hard to pick one, or 10 for that matter, because they're all very similar. There's a lot of similarities, a lot of differences in, you know, how they played and what they did, but there's a lot of similarities into the mindset that each of those guys had. So it was, you know, I look back at that time, and I, you know, I find the same thing in broadcasting as well. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of, you know, it's a special group of people that not many, you know, get an opportunity to do that. And it's the hard work and the constantly striving to get better and, you know, critiquing yourself. And anyway, I got long-winded there.
No, I'm fascinated with your answer, because I love that you're passionate about this, because I'm always it's just something I like, that interests me. I have interest in, you know, seeing the makeup of people and what drives people and how people get in a leadership role and how they handle a leadership role and just, you know, how different people are wired. And I thought that Scott, that was interesting. I don't know. I kind of geeked out on that answer, so I didn't want you to stop. That was interesting.
Well, thanks. I love it. I love talking about that.
Yeah, me too.
We're talking about Chris Mason. Mesa, I want to float this at you. The game that we showed last night, the first game on the journey to the Stanley Cup Finals for the Predators in 2017, is a classic example. Hostile environment, teams up by one goal, hanging on. And as I watched it back, I thought they did a really good job of defending in front of Pecorine. But I wanted to sort of get inside your mind of the goalie's mindset and the team's mindset when you're in that spot. I think it's a great moment in sports to watch a road team protect a one-goal lead down the stretch in a place that's just going bananas. So what's that like when you're in that situation?
Well, you know, the one thing, too, about watching last night, too, is it was just I commented, I was watching the game, I just said, man, you know what, there's nothing like watching a group of guys at Pekka, you know, when a goalie's in the zone and you just know, like, he just wants them to shoot. He just wants that puck to come towards the net, because he just knows he can stop it. And the team, they all embodied that that attitude and that mentality. And it was instantaneous. And, you know, I think you mentioned too, on Twitter too, about Pekka, you know, mentioning how good he felt during the broadcast, how good he felt going down the stretch and the way that the guys were playing. And it's something you can just see visually. And it's just, it's such a powerful thing. Everybody was on the same page. Everybody was doing, you know, whatever it took. You know, every single play, the recognition, every single play is the biggest play of the game. There's just, you know, they left it all out there, and you could just see that the confidence level and the belief that they had. And it's a powerful thing when, you know, not only a single athlete gets in, you know, the zone and is on top of their game, but when a whole team, you know, has that feeling collectively, it's just such a powerful thing, and you could visually see it. And that's what I saw in that game, even though, you know, Chicago just kept coming, and they're, you know, such a talented team. And, you know, it just, they would not be denied. You know, the Preds, just no matter what that situation, they were doing whatever it took to win. And you could just see the way that they looked at each other, the body language, you know, the taps on the butt, you know, just the taps on the shin pads with the sticks, and everybody just collectively, you know, had that feeling. And it was a special run, and that's the game it started with. And really, Pekka was phenomenal, but the guys did a great job too, because they were under siege. And a lot of times in sports, you can control some of what happens, but there's another team out there, and a very good, you know, Chicago Blackhawk team that was, you know, doing everything in their power to try to tie that game up and get the win. And they were feeding off the crowd in their building, which is a very tough building to play in, but it was just a textbook game, you know, not necessarily X's and O's by the Predators, but just effort-wise and belief-wise, and kind of doing whatever was thrown at them. And it was cool to watch that back. It was, you know, you forget a lot of things.
Yeah.
And you get to, you know, get that emotion back, and you get right back into the, you know, the start of that run. So it was just an impressive display, I think, in terms of what, you know, how you can win as a team if you don't necessarily have, you know, the best team that's playing in the game on paper, or whatever you want to call it. But it was pretty cool to watch that again.
Yeah, game two will be on Thursday night, where they just shock the Blackhawks and win 5-0, a second shutout for Pekka Rinne. But, Mace, you said something I think is an important thing. When the goalie has that mentality, I want the puck. Go ahead and shoot it. You're not gonna beat me. We all love to get to that spot in almost anything we're doing, that level of confidence. And it's a hard one to get to, right? You always want to have it, but you don't always have it. It's such a tough thing. And for goalies, that's got to be an extreme thing. It's just like if you're playing shortstop, and it's the bottom of the ninth. You know, they always say you want to anticipate it. You want to say hit the ball to me. But not everybody really deep down has that conviction.
Yeah, it really is, and it's something that just it comes from having success, and it builds. You know, just from, I think, you know, a longer body of work, you can get it one game. And I mean, if anybody knew how to, you know, how to just magically capture that.
How to channel that,
Yeah, they'd be selling it on Instagram right now, but it's not the case. But it's, you know, you can just see it. And when you get there, it really, you know, the when people say or players say, like, the game just slows down, it's such a true thing. Your vision expands. You just have such a clear, you know, headed view of what's coming at you, the anticipation, your ability to read what's going to happen next, the way that you track the puck into your body as a goaltender off of your pads, you know, or the rebound. You're just one step ahead because everything, you know, you're able to find the puck through three or four bodies and track it through. It just all slows down for you. And I think, you know, you're not feeling any pressure. I think, you know, sometimes when you feel the weight or the pressure, you just, you know, you get tunnel vision. You're trying so hard to accomplish something that, you know, as a goaltender, you have no control over until it gets to you. But when you're in that zone, you just have that patience. It's almost like, you know, you're just able to breathe easy, and you just know that you're going to stop the puck. And, you know, the only way they're going to beat you is if it's, you know, if it deflects off, or you don't see it, or some sort of fluky kind of goal. And it's just such an amazing feeling as a goaltender and an athlete. And that's why those elite guys, they can get it, and they can keep it for very long stretches of time. Or if they lose it, they can get it back quicker. But it's really about, you know, the mental makeup of your game and your ability to get your head in that space. So Texas awesome last game, and I think next game he doesn't quite have the amount of shots or the quality, but he's still he was locked in for those first three rounds.
No doubt. Mace, maybe you could help illustrate for the listeners what this is like, because we've been reading about this committee that's talking about potential pathways back to perhaps playing, talking about all the issues that are out there, try to cover the issues. There's a small group of players that are on this committee. I would imagine it is somewhat like the labor talks that happen where each team has a player rep. I would imagine these players will eventually get to the player reps. The player reps will then get information to their entire teams. But what is that process like? And who were good players that you played with that were good at being able to communicate the key issues to you guys? Because these are obviously very, very important things that are going to be discussed with safety and logistics and all of the things that could go into resuming the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's actually, you know, it's fun to be a part of, you know, during the lockout situations that we had. I remember the last one, my last year in Nashville, you know, we had calls with the Players Association and we get the updates. They do it team by team. This might be a little different, but we all sat in the dressing room after we skated in the morning and we listened to them. We put it on speakerphone and listened to the call, and, you know, we could ask questions and things like that. But, you know, the representatives that they have for this is a little different situation where, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions being raised, a lot of, you know, obviously uncertainties. This is unprecedented for everyone in the world and for sports as well, which I know they're trying to get back and find a way to do that. But there's a lot of things. And for players, to me, I think the biggest, you know, thing is obviously their safety, the amount of time they'll have to, you know, have a training camp. And it's not like the beginning of the season where you have exhibition games and it's the beginning of the season, so you don't ease yourself into it, but you try to get back and you have time because you have 82 games. And this, you know, teams are going to be playing the biggest games of the season right away. And there's going to be teams that have whatever 10 games left that are out of the playoffs, you know, and maybe some teams like Ottawa or whoever, Detroit, don't want to win because, you know, they want that better chance to get the first overall pick. So there's going to be a lot of different scenarios here. Guys are going to probably have to be away from their families for, you know, long stretches of time. And, you know, depending on how long your team goes, I don't know if they're going to, you know, find a way to introduce fans. That'll be probably yet to be determined. But it's going to be, you know, very, very tough, and a lot of stuff that these guys have to get sorted out, and testing and all these different things. Who's going to have access to the team? All these different types of things. But there's guys that, like you said, that are the player reps that are very good at, you know, explaining and communicating what's been said. And, you know, there's usually a lot of emails, and I'm sure other guys can get on the call if they want to. So it'll be interesting. I'm very curious to see how this plays out. And, you know, the closer we get, there's been some dates thrown around, and we're getting kind of closer to those dates where, you know, they thought they'd open up facilities for guys to get back and skate. So hopefully in the next little week or so here, we'll hear some more concrete stuff, what's going to happen.
I would imagine it's really important for the player rep to make everybody feel comfortable that they can say something in those meetings, those private meetings, where, and I wonder how you felt when you were a young player. Did you feel like it was okay to speak up and bring something to the table, regardless of what it was about? And think about in this potential situation, you might have some players that, you know, might have some reservations that they want addressed with this. And do they feel comfortable speaking up? I wonder what that dynamic was like.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, you know, for guys that are probably new to the league, I would say probably not. I know personally, I wouldn't have felt comfortable as a young player speaking up. But, you know, the way you go about doing that, and the way that, in my experience, and when I was an older player, I made sure that, you know, the younger players, because they're the future of the game, that if they had an issue and they didn't feel necessarily comfortable talking in front of everybody, to, you know, talk to me or to another older guy that they really felt comfortable with, and share their concerns. So, you know, then we could pass it on, you know, to the group in that manner. So, you know, you're not embarrassed, or you feel like you're, you know, a young player that you don't have a voice. It may be different now because the league's a lot younger, and I think it's, you know, they're encouraging that a lot more for everyone to speak up. But there's definitely ways, and, you know, I know from the group that the Predators have, that They make sure everybody, you know, feels comfortable and has a voice. And there's a lot of ways to do that. So I think all the guys, and especially a lot of the older guys that I played with, were great in that aspect when those things were going on. Because the first year I made the NHL, actually, the next year there was that lockout where we missed the whole season. And, you know, we weren't together with everybody, but we had calls and same thing. The guys say, hey, if you don't feel comfortable speaking up in front of everyone or you can't make the meeting, you know, let me know what you're thinking about or what you're concerned about, and I'll definitely bring it up to the leadership. So they do a good job of making sure everybody's, you know, concerns are heard, even if you're not, you know, a vocal guy or someone that feels comfortable speaking up in that situation.
I've got NFL Live on. John Robinson is on there. Did I just see him wearing a Quebec Nordique shirt?
He is.
Wow.
Really?
That's impressive.
Wow. That is.
Oh, my gosh. I wish we were having him on today. We had him on Monday. How about that?
You have to ask about that, right?
I know. The Titans general manager wearing a Quebec Nordique shirt.
I like him even more. I like him even more now.
Mace,
I apologize that I have missed the interview, but I had a roof leakage situation going on, and I had to deal with that. So.
Well, yeah, you did, because it's starting to rain now.
When I was inside and I'm getting rained on, that's not good.
Not good.
Especially with equipment.
Not good. Mace, good stuff. As always, really appreciate the conversation. You and the family continue to be safe, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you, guys. Take care, and we'll talk soon for sure.
Sounds good. Chris Mason every Wednesday starting at 1 o'clock, and he is driven by Freeland Chevrolet and also brought to you by Smoky Mountaintops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. You can visit SmokyMountaintops.com. We'll get into some of what you just heard on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No